From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of December 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. The folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, will be along to look at the cash grain market. And Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated of Kansas City will tell us about that great big winter storm that is thundering across portions of Nebraska and Minnesota, coming into Wisconsin and Michigan today and tomorrow, and the kind of snow it might dump on folks in those areas and what it really will mean for some of the driest areas of the nation. Also today, we'll take a look at the trend-adjusted yield function of the crop insurance riders from last year and why next year, when Bruce Sherrick asked the question of folks at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits if they signed up to take the TA or not, they'll all say, yes, we did trend adjusted. That all comes up during the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. From the soft red winter wheat, the nearby contract for the March at $8.05¾ down 5.5 cents. That is a settlement price. July futures there at $8.23 for the new crop, settled 6 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City again today of $0.01¾ at $8.78½. Back in the corn pit, steep losses down 16.5 cents at $7.03½. This is a close, so those numbers can change yet. May futures at $7.07 down 16¾, and July corn at $7.07½ down 14¼. September futures $6.31¾, 11.5 cents lower, and December futures down a dime at $6.13. March contract of next year at $6.22½, down 9. January soybeans on a close at $14.38, down 28 cents. The March at $14.30½, down 30. May futures $14.43½, a penny lower. And July contract at $14.14¾, down 17¾. The November contract in the bean pit, $13 even, down a dime on the afternoon. Bean meal at $8.40 lower, bean oil down 72 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February, or rather April contract at $137.95, 82.5 cents higher. And the March feeders at $155.75 were up $1.35. Lean hogs were $1.17½ higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. The outside markets show us that the crude oil is currently trading at $89.51 a barrel in the nearby contract, $1.58 higher. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at 274.6¢, 5¢ higher. Ethanol trading at 221.5, down 4 cents. And the difference between the two is 53¢. That's 9.5 cents wider than it was yesterday. And the more positive it gets at 53¢, the better it is to blend ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas at 3.32¢, 9¢ lower. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.03¢. That's 4¢ higher. And the gold futures on the day, $3.10 lower at $1,666.70. The U.S. dollar trading 79.27. That's down 0.08 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Cloudy skies, a high near 44 degrees on an east wind at 6 to 8, and then things begin to change as we move into the overnight period. Occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm. Temperatures will rise through the night to 49 degrees by 5 a.m. on an east wind at 11 to 7. They'll come out of the south to southeast after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 24. Should rain overnight, 90% chance in the area. And then tomorrow, occasional rain showers coming before 3 o'clock in the afternoon central time. Rain and snow showers thereafter. Some thunder is also possible. Temperatures falling to 32 degrees or freezing by 5 in the afternoon. Tomorrow should be windy with a south-southeast wind at 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 26 to 31. Winds could gust as high as 49 miles an hour tomorrow. The chance of precipitation set at 80%. New snow accumulation of less than half an inch possible. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Jackie. Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace. It was kind of ugly in Chicago, and I don't know who did the leading down today. What'd you think?
Well, I think there were a lot of factors that caused, you know, we added on to the beans because of the China cancellations from yesterday. Although I have to say that, you know, when you looked at January beans, we got down to that 1433 level. There's a 62% retracement on that contract from the June 1st low to the September 4th high. And, you know, it respected that. It came bouncing back. So I hope that we will see a better day in the bean pit tomorrow. The market itself seemed to be doomed when Informer came out and increased their acreage for new crop corn to 99 million. But, you know, the odd part was they reduced the bean acres to 78.96, so you would have thought that beans might have picked up something, but they didn't. And I think that's because we have the wrangling going on with the fiscal cliff. First, this morning we came in and they said they were close to a deal. Then our president came out and said he was probably going to veto any deal, and that just added fuel to the fire, and we just couldn't get any gumption to get out of this pit. The minute that we broke the 20-day moving average, you know, in the bean market, we just tumbled and couldn't find a way back out.
So the housing starts this morning that were better than they have been in 4 years didn't make too much of a difference to the marketplace today?
Well, I think the housing starts, yeah, they might have been better than they were in the past 4 years, but they were down 21.6% from the month before. So it depends upon where you want to focus, I guess.
It is all about perception, is it not?
Yes, it is.
It always is. Okay, so one of the things that is happening, and we just sort of discussed it a little bit in part of the program, and we will later in the program when we talk about the weather forecast, is that there's snow, and maybe quite a bit of snow, that's coming to the Great Plains State. I don't know whether we'd call that a drought break or not, but it's a different pattern for them nonetheless.
Oh, there's no question. And I was talking with one of our guys out in Kansas today, and they have been being told since Monday that this blizzard was coming, and he said the skies are getting darker, but they really just won't believe it until they actually see it. And the trade did act somewhat today as if they thought this could be a drought breaker. So I went back, you know, I've always known over the years that the average is 1 inch of rain equals about 10 inches of snow. And now that's going to vary depending upon how wet the snow is, how dry the snow is. But, you know, if Omaha is supposed to get 10 to 13 inches of snow, that would be 1 to 1.3 inches. And when you look at, like, Palmer drought, you know, they are in what they call extreme drought. And extreme drought is defined as, you know, a tremendous amount of pasture damage and major water restrictions. So even though we're hopeful that this is a change in the pattern, this is certainly not something that's going to pull these guys out. Just a temporary fix.
Yeah, so even just an inch is just certainly, and we know that well from our experience last summer, that's not enough to do a whole lot except to get things wet from time to time.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and when you talk about the wind, you know, we're talking 50-mile-an-hour to 60-mile-an-hour winds, you know, and even where we, where our home office is up in Wisconsin, they're supposed to get 13 to 15 inches of snow between tonight and tomorrow and 50-mile-an-hour winds. And ask me if I'm happy. I'm not there. But
it depends on how many phone calls you have to take from the home office tomorrow.
Well, that's true, you know. But in all honesty, you know, they're certainly hunkering down, and so is everybody. You know, a blizzard, it's much nicer to get something that comes straight down and you don't have this tremendous amount of wind, because it causes just a lot of problems and a lot of damage. And, you know, that's the same thing when you look at the plains. It doesn't give you a nice blanket of snow, which is what you really need to renew the ground. It gives you snow piling up around whatever might be out there to stop it. And so, but it's rain, it's moisture, and that's really what we need.
Well, let's stay here in this nation and with fundamental effects of the weather. The Mississippi River remains low, though, I don't know that they actually did start or not. Maybe you can tell me on blowing the pinnacles out of the Mississippi River between St. Louis and Cairo. But nonetheless, it is having an impact on trade.
Well, there's absolutely no question. And, you know, it's interesting. They have started, but they've chosen not to blast. They're actually jackhammering. is what they're doing. So does that give us a picture of how low that river actually must be right there? And, you know, when you look at the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, they're making it very clear, Todd, rain, and more rain is what we need, because in 30 days from now, they will have only dropped the level by a foot and one half. And a foot and one half is not a lot. And the other thing they've been talking a great deal about is that 1989 was the last time they did this. And in 1989, they said, you know, this was a multiple-year situation, and they don't see any reason to not believe that it's possible that this is going to again be a multiple-year situation. We need, just a few days ago when I talked to some of our clients in Colorado, you know, they actually have fires going on around Colorado Springs again, and they're not getting the snow in the mountains. So hopefully this storm that we have going through is going to help us, but we need to get rain out in the west, and we need to get snow in the west to recharge the river, because what they do is going to have very little impact compared to what a good rain could do for us.
Yeah, remembering that, 40 to 60% of the flow south of St. Louis, between St. Louis and Cairo, comes from the Missouri River. I can't recall. It's a very large percentage. I probably got those numbers wrong, but it's a large percentage. So anything that's coming in on the Missouri River is really, really helpful. One of the things that we'll need to talk about next year, and we'll start to talk about today probably, is the grain stocks report. That one's due out January the 11th.
That's right. And, you know, this is, when you look at market action today, you know, you say to yourself, how is it possible that we could be really tight on our grain stocks on old crop corn, per se, down 16 to 17 cents, you know, back down around the $7 level? And I think, you know, what it reflects is nobody feels very confident about what that January 11th report for grain stocks is going to show. And Daryl Good had a very good article out about it. I agree with him wholeheartedly. He said, you know, it's a situation where having confidence going into that report as to where it's going to come out is just not possible. Why? Because, you know, even though we know that the 1.2 billion bushels of corn that was actually harvested prior to September 1st didn't show up in any of those numbers, it was a lot of it was consumed. So the question comes, will that show up now in first quarter use? And when you look at the last 2 years, we've been off by 265 million bushels on the corn amount, and over the last 5 years by as much as 565 million bushels. Those are huge numbers when you're sitting at a level like we are right now with the carryout numbers. And so the likelihood is we're probably going to see a smaller crop. You know, I don't think very many people would argue that the USDA will likely lower the crop again on this final report. Now what that brings us down to is, what is the wild card? Will they lower exports enough, perhaps, to make up for the difference in the crop? And then what about the feed usage, you know, feed residual usage? And if that feed residual number comes in anywhere where we think it might, we could really see a lower carryout and therefore the direction for old crop corn to be established at that point in time. But trading between now and then is going to be pretty messy.
Yeah, Daryl Good wrote that article on Monday. It's up on the Farm Doc Daily website. If you want to see it, you can just visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. By the way, I will be talking with Daryl tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for Commodity Week this weekend. And if you miss it this weekend, don't worry, I'll rerun it again on the following weekend because it's the holiday season. And hey, well, it's the holiday season. So I'll change the numbers in the front. And I think in the second week, we'll make sure that we have not only the closes for Friday, but I'll try to give you the yearly closes change from one year to the other. So you can hear Daryl this week, and then you can hear him again if you want to, and the second week. So a couple of other things maybe we ought to take up as well. Let's go to South America, because they've been having a lot of rainfall, and I don't know whether that means that they may end up with a pretty good crop. It's been rough as a start, at least for the corn crop, I think, in Argentina.
Well, Argentina, it's been terribly rough, and they again have had very, very heavy rains. You know, been detrimental to any late planting that has to be done. You know, the question comes down to now, will they be able to get it planted ahead? You know, they're very much affected by heat, of course, and you know that's why it's so important that they get it planted by this particular date. And they just don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So the reality is we may see a smaller crop down there, and it may start to impact their beans also. On the other side, you know, not far from them is Brazil. Brazil's in a different situation. If we step away from crops and we look at inflation, inflation in Brazil is now at 5.78% today, much higher than they expected it to be. And so now what does that mean to them? You know, it means that interest rates are going to go up for them, and it also means that it's just that much harder. I can't speak and say that this is exactly the way it is today, but I can tell you when I traveled in Brazil, when it came to planting crops, no matter how many hectares you had, you only got $50,000 toward dollar equivalent toward planting corn, $75,000 for beans, and $200,000 for cotton, actually. And so if that's the case and you're very huge, you've got to figure out ways, different ways to be able to get money. And so, it's like a double-edged sword going on down there. You've got the heavy rains, you've got a fairly decent weather situation in Brazil, and yet Brazil now is in a money situation. We all understand what that's like.
Thank you so much. Hey, speaking of different ways to get money, I wanted to thank you also for helping to donate the meat from the Grand Champion Barrel back to the fundraising event we'll be having on the 25th of January.
You're welcome. I am so thrilled. I can't wait for that day, and I hope everybody who listens to us, who has the ability to come in and visit with all of us, do the fundraiser and get to see Orion Samuelson and get his new book, joins us. That would be great.
Yep, and he'll be signing those books on that evening. That's the 25th of January. You can find more information, I think, maybe starting tomorrow. But it'll be in our website at willag.org. Jackie, have a good week, and we'll talk to you not next week, but the following one.
You betcha. Thank you, Todd. Merry Christmas to you and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On your smartphone at ama.willag.org. That M is for mobile. No www in front of that. Or just dial this number, 217-333-3434.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You know, last week I was on the road with the ag economist at the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Bruce Sherrick was there. He deals with crop insurance, and he and I talked just a bit about the trend-adjusted option and how that experience can be applied to the crop insurance decisions you make in 2013.
Right. So 2012, with the trend, a major change in the way crop insurance, the sort of guarantee was calculated. So producers were able to add back to their yields from time the impact of the passage of time. And we think it worked extremely well. We just didn't get quite as much participation as was expected. And going backwards, we understand now, and from the producer's stories, understand there was a bit of confusion about what trend was. The technical features are that the cost per bushel of insurance with trend can't go up. The rate yields are maintained in the exact same way. So if you insured the same number of bushels with trend, your actual premiums would go down as if you insured the same number of bushels without trend, but trend allow you to get a lot more coverage. So in many cases, simply going from, say, 150 bushels of effective coverage to 160 bushels of effective coverage with trend resulted in premium increases, but the cost per dollar of insurance was still lower.
So in 2013, you would expect everybody to raise their hand and say, yes, I took trend-adjusted yields.
Right. We see very few reasons not to take trend. There are certain historic cases where living on the floor, if you will, or having enough cups or floors in the producer's APH database might have resulted in better adjustments than trend, but we really expect this to be a very complete program going forward. One of the other impacts this year that people should be aware of is that their actual APH starting values will go down because of their experience in the drought this year, adding one more year of low yields. And perhaps kicking out a 10-year-old higher yield can have that effect, might reduce APHs by 4 or 5 bushels on a raw basis, which makes it even more important to take the trend adjustment next year.
And when they do take the trend-adjusted yield, they can opt to lower their coverage rate level?
What some folks found to be a good trade-off was to take the trend and then reduce their coverage by 5%. So an 85% unadjusted APH or 80% trend-adjusted APH often resulted in the same effective bushel coverage. So many producers did that. I think after this year's experience, though, and seeing how crop insurance performed, it's generally the case that higher coverage levels are better. So I don't think many people will back off on coverage as much this time.
Bruce Sherrick, Ag Finance at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line, Ben Stoller. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I watched the spread between the RBOB gasoline and the price of ethanol, and it has widened back out about 35 cents in the last, 4 days or so. That usually means that it's good to blend ethanol in the gasoline supply, but it doesn't have as much an impact, I don't think, on the margins at the plant. Can you tell me whether the plant margins are getting better or worse at this time?
Sure, Todd. Yeah, margins certainly we're going full steam ahead, but we're seeing other plants here locally that have shut down. So margins aren't great, but certainly makes sense for our plant in particular to be running. Certainly, I would say it depends on the plant, the technology that they have in place.
Does that mean you're making a call for bushels and you have a strong basis level?
No, Todd, we are certainly looking for bushels as we always are. Seeing basis fade here locally, we've gotten quite a bit of coverage on here December and January, so we actually faded our basis a little bit, went to 22 over the March for December and for first half of January.
And then as you look around the area and are wondering what the processors for soybeans are doing, what do you see?
Yeah, really the past 2 to 3 weeks we've seen bean basis really strengthen. We're seeing anywhere from 20 to 25 over the Jan, so they're definitely out there looking for the beans.
And your expectation will be for them to continue to do that for some length of time?
Yeah, I would expect bean basis to stay firm here. And as far as I understand, crush margins are good, and definitely, especially with beans trading the way they have the past couple of days, they're going to need to pay up in basis to convince producers to move the beans.
And what are your bids for the day?
Sure thing. Corn to Delphi, 7.18. Corn to Clymer, 7.25. And beans to Delphi, 14.32.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben Stoller is with the Andersons. He's at the Clymer's facility located in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll talk to him again, not next week, because while the markets are open next Wednesday, the university is closed. So we'll have a program. It'll just be pre-produced at that point, so no numbers coming to you on that day. And then we'll be back with Ben on the following week, which would be January the 2nd for a Wednesday, if I have my numbers right. I think that's correct. You can always hear us, if you'd like, on the website at willag.org. I'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted, and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line to look at the weather forecast as we head into the Christmas holiday season. Hi, Drew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Tell me about the kinds of snow people across a good portion of the western Corn Belt might see.
Oh, my. This is quite a storm. Already sustained winds at this hour are 20 to 30 miles per hour. Gusts of 40 in Colorado and western portions of Nebraska, starting to pick up in northwestern Kansas. We have moderate snow occurring in quite a bit of that region. A little bit of drizzle and light rainfall occurring across areas to the south and east of that. But as we go through the next 12 to 24 hours, this storm is going to race itself towards the upper parts of the Midwest and will likely see a band of significant snowfall from Nebraska into Wisconsin and parts of Michigan. And we're talking about 4 to 10 inches easily and probably some local totals in the 10 to 13-inch range for Wisconsin. Moisture content in this is going to be very good as well. We're probably going to see anywhere from a quarter of an inch upwards to 8/10 of an inch of moisture in this same area, with some local totals in eastern Iowa and southern Wisconsin, maybe over an inch, about an inch and a quarter. So it's going to be a very good event in that sense, but it is going to cause a lot of travel issues overnight tonight, road closures, airport closures. It's going to be a pretty big mess, and even into tomorrow morning, a big part of the Midwest will be subjected to the strong winds. We'll have the worst of the blizzard conditions in Iowa, Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, but even northern Illinois will likely see some near blizzard conditions for a while tomorrow during the day. And it's going to be a rough travel day, so hopefully not too many people need to get out and about.
I take it that this will be a fairly wet snow. Is that correct then? It'll be kind of hard to move around after it gets on the ground?
It is going to be a fairly wet snow. It turns colder after the event pretty much, but with the wind blowing like it's going to, the snow is going to be packed down pretty good just simply because it's going to hit the ground at a pretty good pace. So, yeah, I think there may be a pretty slick environment to deal with after this system passes through.
And then turn your attention to South America for me. Let's talk about some warmer climates.
Yeah, things down there are looking fairly good. Most of Argentina is going to see a good mix of rain and sunshine as we go forward through this next week to 10 days. Now, we still are dealing with some excess moisture in a small part of corn and soybean country, but I think as we work our way through this next 10-day period, we'll probably see a little bit better opportunities for drying between the rain events and no more of the big, heavy soakings for a little while. And that should help to get us back on track in some of those areas, and some of the field work that's behind will get a chance to maybe get caught up. It's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. And then in Brazil, everybody's going to get rain at one time or another. The only place in Brazil that has the issue right now is in the northeast corner in minor corn and soybean production areas, where it is very dry and it's going to stay that way. This is in the states of Bahia and northern Minas Gerais. And those are just not major players, so we're not terribly concerned about the situation for right now.
Anything else we ought to take a look at before I let you go?
I think in Russia's lower Volga River basin this week, we've had some very cold temperatures with no snow on the ground, temperatures below zero Fahrenheit, and I think some damage has occurred in that region. They've already suffered losses because of drought this year, and looks like we're going to come into spring with some more trouble in that region.
Thank you so much, Drew.
All right, have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.